Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to welcome you to our program. This is our first program of 2019, so I want to wish all of you a bountiful, fruitful, spiritual New Year. I don't want to just say Happy New Year because I don't even know what that means. I mean, when you think about it, what does that mean, Happy New Year? Well, I guess, in fairness, that's okay. It's okay to want happiness, right? It's okay to want a smile, but how many people could maintain happiness for the entire year? Does that mean that they have a grin on their face even when they're driving to work? Or when they wake up in the morning, there's a grin? Imagine that, folks. Imagine looking at your wife or your husband, and since it's Happy New Year, they wake up and there's a big smile on their face, and then they yawn, and then they start smiling again. Or you wake up groggy, and you go and see your wife cooking breakfast, and she turns, and she has a smile on her face like the Joker. And you look back at her in the same way, like the Joker. Is that what that means? Your child walks into the room, big smile. And of course, when people have smiles, then others will wonder, why are they smiling? But then again, smiling doesn't always mean happy, does it, folks? We could be happy without smiling. You know, I've often heard preachers say that actually it's not happiness that we should be after. We should be after joy, to be joyful. Have joy in our heart, joy in our spirits. And I agree with that. I like both, actually. Happiness and joy. I'll take both. So I don't know where I got off into that. So let me say this. May you have a happy, joyful New Year, and you don't have to smile the whole time. Let your heart smile. I wish all of you a smile for your heart and joy in your heart. And I pray and I hope that all of you that are listening to this program will experience joy in the coming year. Now, the theme of this program today is not going to be Happy New Year. And the reason for that is because that's not realistic. Jesus never promised that we would have happiness. He didn't. God doesn't guarantee happiness 24/7. He doesn't. Because life is not always happy. Life has challenges. Life has events that show up when we're not expecting them. And when those things happen, happiness will flee. Happiness will be gone. And the Bible doesn't say that we are guaranteed happiness. In Isaiah 21:11, the watchman was asked, "Watchman, what of the night?" And the watchman answered, Isaiah answered. He said, "The morning comes, but the night will also come." The book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. There's a season and a time. So there's an appointed time for happiness and joy and laughter, celebration. There are times for that, but that is not always guaranteed, is it, folks? And if you've lived long enough, you know this. You know that life is full of curveballs. And things will show up. They'll jump out of the corner from the sky. They'll come out of the ground. They'll arrive in a letter or a phone call or a cell phone or a message or a text. Events will show up, and they're not always happy. And the reason for that is because we live in a fallen world, and it's not a perfect world, not yet. So our job is to navigate in the wisest manner, in the most righteous manner that we can. And that's what we talk about here on these programs, folks. We talk about the challenges of life, the issues of life. And we also talk about world events, coming events. And in 2019, I see that we're going to be challenged. I'm seeing it, folks, in the horizon. There are challenges coming to the world in 2019. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And we're also going to visit the scriptures. We're going to talk about what God says about these things. And how are we supposed to behave when we are met with challenges? What is the expectation of God's people when they are met with challenges? Why do we have challenges? Why do we have trials? Why does the story of our life have to include pain? Why? There's a lot of you out there that are soldiers for God. Some of you are tested. Some of you have proven your resilience with God, and some of you are in the middle of the battle of your life. right now. And you are holding on to the promises of God as you go through those battles. You know, out there in the world, you can go to a church and hear the memes. That's what the sermons are. They're memes. They're positive, motivational messages to just tell you how great everything is. But in real life, that's not accurate, is it, folks? People can pretend that everything's great and rah-rah the greatness, but in this life, Jesus said it, in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good courage. He went on, because I have overcome the world. So in the world, there will be trials and tribulation, but then we have Jesus to help us through those trials. And I have been focusing on the theme of trials and faith and the battles of the Spirit. Right now, we're in the middle of a series about spiritual warfare, and part 3 is coming. I'm working on it. If you have heard parts 1 and 2, part 3 is coming out in the coming days. If you haven't heard the series that I have begun on spiritual warfare, I want to encourage you to hear it. It's located at watchmanscry.com, and you can go there for messages that talk about these things. If you're new to this program, I want to welcome you to this ministry. I'm Nathan Leal. I love the Lord. I believe in His power. And if you want to know what I believe as far as my tenets of faith or my doctrine, you can find it at my website in the About Us link. You know, some people write me sometimes, folks, and they say, what do you believe? Do you believe this or this? And if you might be one of them wondering who I am, what I believe, it's located at my website. But for the most part, to sum it up, this might help out. I am a old-fashioned Assembly of God Pentecostal boy. I grew up in Texas in the Houston area, and I cut my teeth in the Assemblies of God. I went to Assemblies of God College. Then I went to Christ for the Nations. Not that that makes me better or superior, but I did focus a portion of my life to try to learn as much as I could. Now, if you appreciate what we've been doing, by the way, I want to thank those of you who have become a part of our family to support us, brethren of God. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, and I want to challenge others out there. Those of you that are being blessed by these messages, help to support us so that we can continue doing this. I have a lot of projects I'm doing, and my grown-up adult son also helps us out here at Watchman's Cry, and he helps with the producing and the editing, and he's helping me to produce music, and I have started recording some of my favorite songs with me playing the piano or guitar or whatever instrument the song requires. Our plan is to record enough eventually, hopefully, to maybe have a CD or something. That'd be nice, huh, folks? We're not there yet. It started out casually, and over the years, I've recorded some songs that I didn't release because I just didn't like how they sounded. But we've been acquiring better equipment, better editing equipment, better microphones, better wires. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it to make a recording. You know, you can do it casually. You can do it where it sounds like amateurs did it. And then if you put in the time, it can really sound good. And that's my goal, ladies and gentlemen. I want to put out my best for God. That's another thing that we're doing here at Watchman's Christ. So with your support, we're able to, there's still a few more pieces of equipment I need to get. My son tells me that there's a few things we need. But if you appreciate what we're doing, we need and appreciate your support so that we can continue what we're doing here to bless you. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. I know that some of you are not used to hearing me do music. It's kind of weird for some. What, Nathan does music? Yeah, I kind of do. In fact, when I had my injury over a year ago, November 2nd, 2017, I was worried that I wouldn't be able to play an instrument anymore because my arm was broken. And it was in a cast for 3 months, and then it atrophied, and then it needed therapy, and it was all goofed up. But the Lord has really blessed my healing because of your prayers. By the way, I want to say that, folks. Because of your prayers, the Lord has restored my health and my hand. You know, I was so worried, and there were times where I actually wept. I was alone praying to God because I couldn't hold a cup in my hand. And then as it healed, it wasn't healing right. And when I tried to play the guitar or the piano, it hurt so bad. My wrist hurt because my arm was broken. I was really worried that I wouldn't be able to play an instrument again. And it scared me. And I know that we're not supposed to have fear. Have faith, Nathan. Where's your faith? I had belief and faith that God could do it. I just didn't know if he would. I'm a regular human. I'm a regular Christian. And I have moments where, you know, when you're all busted up, doubts will come. So I had my doubts, but then started getting better and better. And then finally I sat down at the piano one day and I tried to play a song and it hurt so bad. My left hand is the one that was messed up. Trying to play the bass notes on the piano, it was so hard. And then I picked up the guitar and tried to form some chords, and oh, did it hurt. I was able to do a G. A G was the first one I had back. God gave me a G. Oh, wow, I can do a G. But when I tried to do a C, the fingers did not cooperate. And so I put the guitar down and continued therapy, and then I would pick it up, and it got a little bit easier to do a C. And then over time, it got easier and easier, and the same thing on the piano. It still hurt, and after I would play and practice, I would do it very slow. It would hurt. It would be sore because it was atrophied also. But then one day, I sat down and there was a song in my head. It was a Keith Green song, and I wanted to play it. So I went to the piano, and I sat down and I tried to play it, and I was able to go all the way through without the pain. Well, it hurt a little bit, but I was able to actually play it. And I was so excited, and I said, praise God. Got it. So you're going to let me have my music back. I was so, oh man, folks, imagine, right? Your handicap and then you get it back. The feeling is the best feeling in the world. And for me, it was a great feeling because to me, music is a part of my soul, and worship, to worship God with my guitar and the piano. That's my superpower, basically, I guess you could say. Nathan, what's your superpower with God? Worship. You know, folks, that applies to anyone. You want a superpower with God? Worship Him. Learn how to worship Him. And if you don't know how, practice it. But that's a superpower because when you get into the presence of God, everything grows dim. You forget everything else. All the problems, all the mess, all the struggles and worries and all that. It's just you and God, and you're giving Him praise. And then when it's done from the heart, His presence will come into the room and bathe the entire room with His glory. And I love that. Folks, I love it more than anything because, you know, the Bible says the Spirit breaks the yoke. It is the Spirit of God that can break it. Presence of God makes the enemy flee. Worship is a beautiful thing. So 3 days after Christmas, I was on the piano playing, and I was playing I Exalt Thee. I love that song, I Exalt Thee. I love it. I'll play it to God over and over because it's so beautiful. So I was playing the song and I thought, you should record this. So I turned on my recorder and I recorded myself playing on the piano. I have a keyboard in my office next to my computer. So I played it and I sang along, and then I listened to it and I was thinking, oh, wow, okay, I could just enjoy this for myself. And then I started thinking, you know, if this was a production, it would have harmony. So I recorded myself singing harmony along with the melody. And then I was thinking I should record more harmony and then throw, before I knew it, folks, it was done with worship toward the Lord. I recorded it. I listened to it and I thought, well, should I share it with the audience? I'm going to take a chance and do it. So I made a YouTube out of it and I sent it out, and some of you have probably heard it by now. I want to share it with you. So here we go. I Exalt Thee. Love that song, and I hope that it blessed some of you. So if you want to hear it by itself, you can go to the website watchmanscry.com. I made a page for it which links to YouTube, or you can just go to YouTube and do a search for Watchman's Cry. It'll come up as well, so we'll have it there. Now I grew up in the 1970s and 80s. I got saved 1980, and it was during that era that the Jesus movement was taking off. And back then, the musicians that were producing music for God, it was so beautiful. It was incredible. It was great. Those of you that were Christians back then, you remember that, folks? Remember second chapter of Acts and Chuck Gerrard and Dallas Holm? And out of all of them, out of those guys, and yes, they're all blessed. They're talented. They contributed to the chronicles of music. There's one person, in my opinion, that stands out second to none, and that's Keith Green. Keith Green was, in my opinion, an anointed prophet musician. And when he played music, the heart of God showed, the presence of God showed up, and the cry of his songs were prayers. The words of his songs were prayers. They were a heart cry. He was really anointed. And then his life was cut short, 28 years old. He died in a plane crash. It was tragic. in the short amount of time that he was around, he gave to us, he gifted the church with some of the most beautiful music I think that's ever been written. And there's one particular one that, oh man, when I hear it, it's hard to maintain composure because it's just so beautiful. And that's what it's about. The Lord is beautiful. He is, folks. And in the coming year of 2019, if we as the remnant of God can hold on to that wafer of knowledge and put it in our heart that the Lord is beautiful, so that no matter what happens in our life, we can still say, oh Lord, you're beautiful. If we suffer loss, when you're discouraged, the goal is to be able to say from our soul, oh Lord, you're beautiful. And after I recorded the first song, I was then worshiping a few days later, and I was playing that song. I was worshiping. And then I was playing it the way Keith Green did. And you've heard the song, oh Lord, you're beautiful. It's a very famous song. But when I was playing it, I started playing it different. Different notes came that I had not played before, and a different way of doing it came. I said, you know, I got to get this recorded. I have to. So I got a hold of my son, and I asked him to help me record it because I wanted to share it with you guys because it was God. And I pray that it blesses you. So here we go. Oh Lord, you're beautiful.
Is all I see.
I surrender all. That's the theme of the church. That's the theme of the bride that has made herself ready. I surrender all. I surrendered all. We gave it all. We trusted all. We hoped in you, Lord. And folks, that's one of the key foundations of a victorious person, surrender. When we surrender all, then the Lord is able to take over. When we surrender all, then the Lord is able to heal the mess. Worship music is the source of victory. It's the source of power. It creates an atmosphere. It does so many things. You know, King Saul in the Old Testament of the Bible had a demon, an evil spirit that would torment him. And the only relief he had was when David, precious David with his stringed instrument would show up and start playing. And David had the anointing, the prophetic anointing of music. He was a prophet, so he had the anointing of music. And when he played his worship songs to God, the spirits could not stand it because the presence of God would come in to the room and the spirits would say, okay, yeah, I got to go. You know, folks, that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? If some of you are tormented by depression, oppression, sadness, just constant darkness, the blues, the presence of God will make it flee. If you could change the atmosphere and allow the presence of God to come into your chamber, those spirits will flee. So worship music is powerful. It is powerful, my friends. So that's why I share it. You know, some Christians aren't really used to worship. They haven't been taught. Some of you might be strangers to it. You're not used to it, or it's awkward, or, you know, I remember when I was in Assembly of God church as a young Christian, I'd be worshiping and I didn't have any problem just freely worshiping. I had no problem. One of the reasons it was because my close friend in high school sat next to me in church. And since I was a brand new Christian, he had been a Christian his whole life. I noticed with him, he just went for it. He didn't care. He would cry and worship and lift his hands. I would see him doing that and I would say, well, okay, if he can do it, I can do it too. So I copied him. Before I knew it, I noticed that being unrestrained and demonstrating worship from our soul and our spirit without worrying about how we look is a freedom that the devil does not like. But I also noticed this. I noticed that there were some people, even older ones, and some of them were too dignified to close their eyes or lift their hands or be demonstrative because it was embarrassing. And you can tell when you go to a church, you folks notice this? When you go to a church, there's people who go for it. They don't care. And when a person is too dignified to worship the Lord, in truth, my friends, it's pride. And that's the thing about worship. Worship from our hearts, from the inner depths of our soul, also allows us to manifest and show God that we're not letting our pride stop us from giving him glory. But for people who do stop at a certain point and allow pride to stop them because they don't want to just look silly, I'm not going to lift my hands. It looks weird. I'm not going to close my eyes. And I'm not going to let that song touch me and make me cry. No way. That's pride, folks. And pride will kill the anointing and the presence of God because God's not going to compete with that. He doesn't have to. He's the Lord. He's the King of creation. He's the God of the universe. But some people will not do it because of that reason. So that's another thing I just want to throw out there. Folks, don't let pride stop you from enjoying the drink that you can taste from the fountain of God. Because that fountain has water in it that once you taste it, oh man. You know, on a hot day, you drink water and you can feel it go down your throat because it's colder. You ever done that when it's hot? Well, a drink from the fountain of the Lord goes to the depths of your soul. You know, the psalmist said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And God wants us to thirst for him. I'm sharing these things. I know that some of these things are rudimentary, they're elementary, they're basics for a seasoned Christian, but even if they are, let them be a reminder, let them be a refresher, let them be an amen. Because in the coming year of 2019, in my heart of hearts, I can feel it. And some of you are already feeling it. I see it, what some of you are saying on Facebook. I'm getting the emails. People are raising their eyebrows and looking around and saying, 2019 does not look like it's going to be very friendly to the planet. And I agree, folks. I don't think 2019 is going to be friendly to the stock market, to foreign policy, to President Trump, to Congress, to the Senate, to Deutsche Bank, to the economy, and to the basic health of consumer confidence. I don't see 2019 as being very friendly. You know, a few years back, some years were kind of just there. They came and went, but nothing real pivotal happened. I have a feeling, folks, in my heart, that 2019 is going to bring us some events that are going to be historical, maybe calamitous, very challenging. And for some of us, the coming year can be one of the most trying years of your life. I'm feeling that, folks. You know, I have been sharing in the last few programs that God is threshing his church because it's the last days, and it is. He's preparing his church for his return. And in order to do that, he has to thresh us. We're the wheat. He threshes. He crushes us, throws us up. I have a sermon, by the way, about that. You can go to my website about the threshing floor and how God is threshing his church and how it's prophetic and it's been prophesied. And if you haven't heard that message, I want to challenge you to hear that, because there are some of you that are going through hard times already and you've contacted me. I've seen your messages. When a human goes through hard times and trials and is challenged, there's a tendency to then ask questions about why. Why is God doing this? Is he mad at me? Is he tired of me? What's going on? And if we are Christians, if we love him, if we believe what the Bible says, then in order to have those questions answered, we need to look into the scriptures to see if they've been addressed. And, you know, folks, they have been addressed. The trials of life have been addressed in the Bible. And the trials of the end times, the threshing of the church, the shaking of the church has been noted. We got to be ready, folks. You are a soldier of the Lord, and God knew that you would be alive right now in this late hour. He knew that you would be facing the monsters and the mountains and the obstacles and the contrary winds. He knew that you would be facing these things, but he still allowed you to be born during this time period. He also did something else. He allowed you to meet him. He allowed you to know who he was. He allowed you to be introduced to him. So praise God for that. While we are pilgrims on a journey along the way, on the road, on the highway to the new city that he has made for us. And along that road, there's going to be bumps. There's going to be snares, traps, discouragements, scuffs, injuries, setbacks, downfalls, stumblings, trials. There's a lot of stuff that happens on a journey. But God promised that he would always be with us while we're on the journey. So in the coming year of 2019, we have to situate ourselves for what's coming. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now, folks. The government is shut down at the moment. There's going to be some delays on tax returns. I've heard that some people might not be getting their food stamps. How is this government shutdown going to affect those people? And what about the employees who are working, not getting paid right now? They're hurting. You know, I was thinking about that. If people aren't getting their tax return and some citizens are expecting it, and they were counting on it, and then there's a delay, or if some citizens are counting on their food stamps and they don't get it, all it would take is one person, just one angry person, just one disgruntled person, because they're mad about that, to do something crazy. And if they did something crazy, like try to vandalize a government building or burn down or do arson or just something crazy, it could result in a setback. It could result in a national emergency. I mean, think about it, folks. Some crazy person throws a Molotov cocktail on top of a federal building and catches it on fire and then does a crazy post on Facebook, or a few people do it because they don't get what they want. A mad government employee, a parks employee, a federal employee not getting paid. They can't feed their family, so they're mad. You know, Donald Trump has stated that if he had a national emergency, then he could finish his wall. Well, That would sure do it, wouldn't it? We don't know what's coming. On top of that, we have the stock market that's erratic. It's going down further and further and further. And, you know, I could do an entire program on the stock market. When Trump first came into office, stock market went up. He took credit for it. And a lot of his supporters clapped and cheered and agreed with him. But one of the facts that was left out of that equation was that the stock market has been rising since 2008, when it was very, very low, when we were pretty much in a depression. And the reason it went up over the last 10 years was because of low interest rates. Low interest rates down to almost 0% allowed corporations to borrow at almost no interest and then repurchase their own stock. They did stock buybacks with the money, the cheap money they were able to get. Because of that, the stock market was always active. And I've seen the numbers. I've seen the charts over the past few years. This is before Donald Trump and after Donald Trump. The charts were the same. The activity of the stock market was reflected to show that a large percentage of the activity was being done by actual corporations buying stocks for their companies. It wasn't retirement funds. It wasn't pensioners investing in the market. It wasn't speculators, day traders. No. It was companies who had trillions of dollars of wealth to do this. So the stock market recovered. It went up. And then Donald Trump came into office and it continued recovering. So the rise of the stock market was not because Donald Trump was a genius. It's because of a momentum that had already been established by the low interest rates. And you'll note, ladies and gentlemen, now it's crashing. It's gone down several thousand points in the last 2 months. Why? Because interest rates have gone back up, they are climbing again. Trump took credit for something that wasn't his, but now it's going down. So whose fault is that? Now he's blaming high interest rates. You notice that? He's blaming the Fed for hurting the stock market. So if he's blaming the Fed for hurting the stock market, that means that the Fed was responsible for helping the stock market, meaning it wasn't him. You see, folks, it's all about perception. But then aside from perception, there's also the truth. And the truth is what really matters. And the truth is, interest rates are going to continue to climb. Mr. Powell, the chairman of the Fed, has stated that it's going to continue climbing. Several times this year, it's going to climb. The markets are already whispering that they're worried. And financial analysts, the talking heads on cable TV, the financial experts, the gurus of the Dow, are all saying that in the coming year of 2019, we could see another recession, or even something worse, because of all the pieces coming together. So in 2019, we could see the economy, you know, that boom we had for 10 years, it may be coming to a close, folks. And when it comes to a close, it may be hitting hard, very hard. So some of you that are listening to me right now, in the coming months, may feel the results and the ramifications of what I'm saying right now. You may be living it. Your savings account, your IRA, your IRA, your retirement fund, could suffer because of what might happen in the future. Same thing for the housing market. Interest rates are going back up in the housing market. We could see a downturn in the housing market, if not something worse. Deutsche Bank is hurting. You know, people say Deutsche Bank is the canary in the coal mine. Deutsche Bank is a bank in Europe. They're hurting. When we had the crash of 08, Lehman Brothers started hurting, and then Bear Stearns started hurting, and then all of a sudden, they crashed. That began a chain reaction of a nightmare for a lot of people. A lot of lost wealth occurred in the crash of 08, and some of the same dominoes are being arranged in the same way. We're seeing this, a repeat. We're seeing the beginnings, the prequel of what it might turn into. So in 2019, I see some challenges coming, folks. Right now, I'm talking about financial challenges, but financial challenges, when they do hit, have a way of affecting lives so that the lives are actually being challenged in a lot of other areas. It creates stress, lost jobs. That's stressful, which affects the ability to pay bills, to maintain a mortgage. And then when that happens, it affects the lives of people. It's stressful. It affects couples. It affects families and marriages. So there are a lot of things coming in 2019. And then on top of that, as I mentioned earlier, the shaking of the church is occurring. The shaking. God is shaking his church. He's shaking his people. He's testing his people. And some of you that are listening to me may be in a time period of your life where things are great. You started the new year with victory, with joy, with cheer. If some of you are experiencing that, praise God. Give him the glory. There's a time for everything, a time for laughing and weeping. So right now, you're on the mountain. For some of you, the bills are all paid and you're gainfully employed with a perfect boss who throws raises out every time you ask. Yeah, right, Nathan. If only. Well, you have a good boss, though. The whole household faithfully serves the Lord. Everyone's totally happy with a positive Tony Robbins outlook and a Joel Osteen demeanor. The health is great. There's no ailments. Vitals are perfect. The vehicles all work. The tires are all inflated with good tread. And life is a Norman Rockwell painting. And on top of that, everyone on Facebook loves you. It's great. But aside from the celebration of a victory and being on top of the mountain, there's others that maybe are not quite victorious, but things are still okay. They're okay. And for that, give them the glory, because we never know. And in 2019, I don't want it to be my turn. I don't want it to be your turn, but I have a feeling that it's going to be our turn. It's the church's turn. Why? Well, it's because God wants to purify his church. God wants to get the wrinkles out of his church. And the best way to do that is for the church to be tried. Now, I'm not saying that trials influence salvation, because that's the blood of Jesus that does that. The blood of Jesus gives us our salvation. I'm talking about being refined, refinement. So in 2019, I want a challenge. You know, at the beginning of a year, a lot of people habitually do this, and I've done it myself. My New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose X amount of pounds. Amen, right, folks? Some of you have done that. So the diet will start. The efforts are made. The discipline is there for a while. For a while, right, folks? You try. And then one day, there's something that comes up, a birthday party, a celebration, an anniversary. And so you tell yourself, well, I'm going to cheat just one time because, you know, it's a birthday party. I have to participate. So one day of cheating turns into two. And then before you know it, the resolution goes down the drain. It vaporizes. The wind takes it away. It was a good idea for a while. You know what I'm talking about. And then before you know it, it's the summer and then the fall. And then here we go again. So here we are. It's 2019, resolution time. But instead of just saying you want to lose weight, which is good, and if you're doing that, good. God bless you. I wish you well with that. But aside from helping the body, folks, let's focus also on the spirit and on the soul so that our spirit, soul, and body is complete at the coming of the Lord Jesus, at his appearing, all three parts of us. So in addition to trying to lose weight for your body, let me throw this out. How about the remnant of God losing those weighty things of the soul, the weighty things of Babylon? How about that, folks? Let's get rid of that. Let's focus on that also. I want to challenge all of you. Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you? Some of you are making efforts to get a hold of God, to know him better. Let 2019 be the year where you discover a new part of God, a new area of God. And in so doing, a new area of yourself where God finally breaks that shackle that's been around for so long, where God frees you of that burden, of that stronghold, where God answers that prayer that you've been asking for, where God saves that person that you've been praying for so long, where God heals that ailment or gives you the strength and the peace to endure it, where you finally get a hold of the grace. You know, sometimes ailments don't go away. You saying God doesn't heal, Nathan? No, God heals. He can. But our bodies do get frail and eventually they die because God told Adam, you will die. Humans die. Our bodies get old. They get wrinkled. The bones deteriorate. Health deteriorates. Organs deteriorate. The healing of an aging ailment doesn't always come. It doesn't. But wouldn't it be great to endure that ailment with the grace of God, with the peace of God, with the joy of God, with hope, with a different outlook? Wouldn't it be great to be able to endure an ailment or a trial? And even though it's a scary trial, wouldn't it be great to be able to endure it with a confidence in God that you've never had before? Or maybe you used to have and you rediscovered it. You know, there's some of you that are right there as well. I've gotten emails from some of you and messages. Nathan, I just want my hunger for God to get stronger. I get that so many times from so many of you folks. You want your hunger to increase for God. and it's not happening and you wonder why, well, in the coming year, let that be one of your prayers that you will find, that you will attain to. And I think we can get there, folks, because maybe there's some things we can try that we haven't tried before. And in the messages that I have planned that I'm working on, I'm going to throw out some suggestions that will maybe offer up some results that potentially will turn things around or that will allow you to experience a part of God that you haven't had in a while. So let's get a hold of it, folks. Let's lose those weighty things of Babylon in 2019. If some of you can say amen to that, let me also include this. We can't just say it. We can't just say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lose the weighty things of Babylon. No, in order to do it, we got to live it. We must live it. And in order to do that, some of you that are listening may have to change up your method to do it when you haven't been doing it, or to not do the thing that has been hindering you from seeing this victory. You know, some of you are, you want to have victory, but you keep doing that same thing that stops the victory. So in 2019, I'm praying that you will get the victory, that you will no longer do what hinders. God will also give you the Holy Ghost power, ability to change the behaviors that have been weighing you down. And that God will give you the Holy Ghost confidence and strength to make that adjustment that you need to do. And also, folks, by doing this, to get a hold of it. In 2019, I'm praying that you, as God's elect member of the brethren, of the church, of the righteous, of the witnesses, of the called ones, of those whose names have been written in the book, of those who have a coming resurrection, of those of you who have an appointment with resurrection power, with a glorified body, with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those of you, the called out ones, those of you who have been sealed, those of you who answered, those of you who gave him your heart and your trust, in the coming year of 2019, you will experience victory. And you're going to get a hold of it and hold on to it and share it with others. Victory from what, Nathan? Whatever it is. Victory from the mess. Victory from those things that fertilize the mold that wants to grow in your soul. Victory is for you, my friend, and I believe that you're going to find it. That's the type of momentum that we need to get a hold of, folks, and I believe that we can, in spite of the darkness that's coming, in spite of the evening that awaits, in spite of the terrors in the road that lie ahead, in spite of all that, you can still walk in victory because Jesus can be there with you to hold your hand. The enemy does not want you to have victory. The devil does not want you to win. You know the original meaning of the devil? The word the devil means the slanderer and the accuser. He's the slanderer. All he wants to do is slander you and talk about you and remind you that you can't. He tries to influence you that you can't. He tries to influence you and whisper to you that you won't be able to. That is the battle. That's another reason we have to put on that helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation with earmuffs that drowned out those lies and those whispers and those words to slander you, to try to destroy your confidence. Even though the enemy wants to kill you in 2019 or make you miserable, you can still have victory, my friend. So he's going to have a plan as well. He has his generals and his captains and his majors and his viceroys. He has a plan to try to hobble you, to depress you, to debilitate you, and to handicap your relationship with God. But that doesn't matter because you are more than a conqueror over him. You are, my friend. You are. I know that some of you are tempted to be discouraged, to even give up. I've seen some of the posts on Facebook. Some of you are ready in the early days of this year. Some of you are already experiencing some hardship, some trials. And I've seen some of the posts on Facebook from some people that are hurting, asking questions. Why? Doesn't God love me? Some of you are already doing that. And that's expected, folks. That's normal. By the way, side note, if you know someone who's struggling, whether they're personal friends or on Facebook or someone, folks, encourage them and pray for them. Encourage them. Be an ear that listens, that validates. Be that person that is able to just listen. If you're not hurting, but you have encountered someone hurting, be a person that can leave them encouraged. Be a person that has an effect on them. Be a person that gives them a sigh of relief or allows them a moment to just breathe. You know, the Bible talks about that so much, about holding up the burdens of others and being there for others, showing compassion for others, weeping for others, celebrating with others. So often I see on especially social media the tendency to be impatient, to be in a hurry, I don't have time. And yes, a lot of people are busy. There's a lot of obligations in life. But folks, in 2019, try to be different than you were last year. You know, we can all improve, right? We can. Try to be a little bit better at showing compassion. Try to be a little bit better at being patient, of validating someone's pain, of encouraging their outlook. Try to do it better than you did last year. Because the enemy's out there, and the enemy is beating up on some people in ways that some of us probably would be shocked if we heard what they were going through. There are some people going through trials that are so horrible, even right now. And these are members of the brethren. Some of you that are hurting very, very badly, and I know you are, because you've contacted me and you've told me. I see it. By the way, if you are some of them, I'm praying. Some of you I've talked to, I'm praying for you, because I know it hurts. I'm praying for you because I know you're afraid. I'm praying for you because some of you don't have anyone else to pray for you. Folks, the Church of God is a family. We're a family. And we have brothers and sisters that are out there that are all doing different things. You might read a post from someone who just, you know, gives a paragraph of a worry or a fear or concern that they're going through. But behind that paragraph is a novel of tears, of disappointment, of why me, oh Lord, of where are you, God? I don't know how much more I can take. My back's not this strong. You know, folks, they're out there. So let your light shine before men and onto them and give them some light. Give them some hope. Give them some love. Some love, folks. Because it's scary out there. And the pain of a wounded heart, a wounded soul, the pain of a tattered life, the pain of the trials of life and the stresses of life are often much worse than just the pain of an injury. And if some of those people do not have the proper biblical foundation, and some don't, they are falling unto the wayside. They're losing their faith. They're losing their confidence. Why is God mad at me? You see, that's where it starts, because the devil's going to be there to tell you. It's because God's mad at you because of something you did. So then he accuses and condemns. And then the people will conclude, well, then why even try? And they fall by the wayside. Another soldier fell. So the trials are happening to do several things. It's to refine the church. It's to refine the body of Christ. When we zoom in on that, it's to refine us. My friend, if you're going through it, it's to refine you. It's to temper you. It's to knock the scales off. And some of the trials we go through are there because of choices and mistakes that we made, because of unwise choices that we have in our past. So some of the trials are the reaping of bad choices. Some are. But others are to just temper our faith. And folks, no matter whether it's because of a reaping or because of faith or to be refined, no matter what it is, if you are God's child, he loves you. And I want to read a portion of the scriptures from 1 Peter. So if you have your Bibles, can you take your Bibles and turn there? You there, folks? You have your Bible? You know, I love how Peter starts out in his book in verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. The pilgrims. And to the elect. You're a pilgrim, my friend. You're traveling. You're temporary. You're on a journey. We're not here to stay. We're not here to polish the world and pretend that it's Mount Zion when it's not. This world has fallen. This world has its own jurisdiction for evil. And you're a pilgrim. You don't belong here. And Peter starts out talking to the reader, to the pilgrims, and to the elect. To the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit. The Father knew you were going to be here. He knew you were going to be saved. He knew you were going to love him. He knew you would be listening to this program even right now. He knew about the trials that you face. He knows about your trial. He knows about that worry, that concern, that fear, that mountain that you're facing. So Peter says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. Our hope is alive, folks. His name's Jesus. He is alive. And he's our hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. Your inheritance does not fade away. Your inheritance is incorruptible. Your inheritance isn't something of earth that's going to rust and be destroyed in Armageddon. No. Your inheritance cannot be corrupted. It's incorruptible. That means it's perfect. That's what God has for you. And it doesn't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you, my friend. Your inheritance, it's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. Who, Nathan? You. It's waiting for me? Yes, you, my friend. And even though you may think that you've been abandoned, some of you may think that. Where's God? You have an inheritance waiting for you. Even though you worry about the light bill, you have an inheritance waiting. Even though you worry about maybe losing your house, or you might worry about it in a year from now, you have an inheritance waiting for you. For you, my friend, and you. Look what it says in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. You are being kept by God's power. He's watching you. He has you in his hand. And he loves you with his power. Even though you may feel alone, even though you may feel like it's all for naught, God has a reservation for you, my friend. And he is keeping you, your name, through the power of God, through faith for salvation. Because you have faith for salvation. You have it in your heart. You have it in your core. You have it in your breath. You have it like the blood that flows through your veins that's been redeemed by Jesus. Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's going to be revealed eventually, folks. I know some of you are waiting. How long, Lord? How long? How long do I have to put up with this? How long is it going to hurt? It's going to be revealed. It will, folks. Eventually, it will. And in this, you can greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while. Now look at this, folks. For a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You've been grieved by them. It didn't say challenged by them. It didn't say inconvenienced by them. It said grieved. Grief is a powerful emotion. Grief is a powerful cry of the soul. Grief is what we go through when we suffer loss, when we experience loss. So the grief of trials, some trials may bring grief. Grief of a loved one, grief of a relationship, grief of a marriage. Some trials will do that. But then it goes on. You have been grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith. You've been grieved by trials so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which does perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The genuineness of our faith. Is your faith genuine, my friend? Is it real? Genuine means real, right? Genuine faith. It is real. It's not fake. You can't fake real faith. And while you're down here grieving at your trial, at some point at the appearing of Jesus, he's going to show up and your faith will be found to praise, honor, and glory. Will be found to give praise, honor, and glory to Jesus. Jesus is going to appear, whom you haven't seen. You haven't seen him with your own eyes, but you love him. You've never seen him. He's never stood in front of you with your own eyes, but by faith, you love him. You don't just believe in him. See, it doesn't say here you just believe. It says love. You love the Lord. Those are the people that are part of the remnant. Those are the souls who have been counted. Those are the souls whose names are written. It is the souls of those who have not seen him, yet they love him. Though now you do not see him, even now, yet you believe. And because you believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Faith gives us joy that we can't even explain. Faith gives us joy that we can't even put words to. Your faith that is being tried right now is going to result in joy that words will not be able to describe. Because at the end of your faith, you're going to receive salvation for your soul. And it is that faith that says, yes, I'm in a trial. Yes, it hurts. Yes, I'm grieving. Yes, I don't know why. But Jesus is going to be there. Jesus is there. And my friend, I want you to know that He is there. He's there. And by maintaining your trust in Him shows that you have genuine faith. It's not fake. You're not one of those fakers that goes to church, one of those tares that just sits there and pretends. You believe that you believe that you believe because it's in your heart. So my friends, in 2019, I want to challenge all of us, the remnant of God, those who are of the body of Christ, to get a hold of like precious faith, of this type of faith. Genuine. And I believe that we can do it. I believe that as we study the scriptures together and as we read the word together, as we worship together, because I'm going to bring some messages and worship and music, and we're going to do all that. And it's so that the body of Christ can prepare for whatever happens, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how scary it looks, no matter how disappointed you get, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. The genuineness of your faith is going to see you through. See, by ourselves, we can't. If we have faith in ourselves, there's no way we can do it. And that's one of the reasons that people struggle. It's out of their hands. The trial is unexpected. It was not chosen by them. So it's important to understand, where does our faith lie? In ourselves? In our finances? In our money? Bank account? In someone else? Another human? Another person? Or does it rely on God? It has to rely on God, folks. It has to rely on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now, He's the author. He started it. He's the writer. He's the one that can make it grow. If He started it, He can make it grow. As long as we surrender entirely to Him. Surrender all, folks. I surrender all because He's beautiful. He's beautiful, my friends. And with that, I'm going to close. Now, on the next program, we're going to do part 3 of spiritual warfare. I just wanted to have a talk with you. I just wanted to meet with you and fellowship with you and have a heart-to-heart. But in the coming message, we're going to discuss spiritual warfare and talk about how to get some weapons to deal with some of the trials that some of you are going through. So with that, I want to thank you for listening. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for the people who are listening. Father, they are so precious. You love them. Show them that you love them, Lord. Reveal to them in the coming year, God, reveal to them and show them that they will make it, that they will endure, that they can, that you will provide the strength that they need, and that your grace is sufficient. Show us how to trust in you, Lord. Show us how to have deeper faith. Show us how to submit to you and surrender. And God, show us that no matter what we're going through, no matter how grievous the trials are, with you, we can do it. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a part of the Watchman's Cry family. Thank you for listening. Share this message with others. Help our family grow. And again, folks, remember us. I have a lot of projects I want to do, so with your help, I will get them done. So remember us in your financial support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. All right, folks. Well, God bless you. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and let your faith be strong. Bye-bye, my friends. All I see.
the fire.
Blessed Savior, I surrender.